Here we go, folks. Romans, we're back to the book of Romans. Today is Sunday, January 18th. And this day, you just don't know, right, what today is going to bring. This may be a day that goes down in infamy. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe 100 years from now, we'll look back and we'll say January 18th, 2026. That's when it started. Probably not. I'm hopeful that things will generally continue the way that they've been and will trend upwards. I was reading the news this morning, kind of thinking through all of the things that are going on in our state and in our country and around the world. And there is a lot of bad news. And I'm not sure if you keep up on it. I would encourage you to at least read the news now and then. I know it can be a lot of bad news, but read different sources. Don't always read just the same thing, but read different stuff so that you have a wide variety of knowledge, because different news outlets report on different things. And it can be hard to know what's really going on if you only pay attention to one, because they might say, talk about this group of things, whereas this group of things doesn't get talked about. So consider that. But as I was reading and I was looking at that and I was thinking, okay, so here we go. This could be the day big things happen. And on the right side of the page, it was a Walt Disney ad, like a Disney World ad, like come vacation, spend lots of money. This is the happiest place on earth, you know, that sort of a thing. And I was just like, wow, that is where our country is at, isn't it? When so much hangs in the balance, and there are protests, and there are, you know, national things happening, and all sorts of stuff going on just a few miles away from here, up in the Twin Cities. Walt Disneyland, Walt Disney World. And we can get stuck, we can put our blinders on, and we can go and we can say, okay, well, so the teaching is from Romans, I should probably read Romans, and then we cannot really fit that in and say, okay, so this applies to my entire life, and this applies to the world around me right now. I think Clifton's message last week was very timely. I was out of town, but I had a chance to go back and listen to it, and it was really good, talking about what do you do? God, Romans calls us to honor those in our government. But obviously there was times in the New Testament and times in the Old Testament where people of faith chose to act differently. So when does that come happen? And how do we go about doing that? So if you didn't hear Clifton's message, consider going back and finding it. It's on YouTube, it's on Facebook. You can listen to it. But I think that this all falls under the heading of these verses from chapter 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, in view of the first 11 chapters of Romans, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So when you think about your life, when you think about what's happening in the world right now, you think, I am a living sacrifice for God. Don't be conformed. Don't be fit into the world's mold. Like a cookie cutter shapes our lives. We can be in the world's mold, even as Christians. And that is a dangerous place to be. We are to be transformed. Are you transformed? Am I transformed? Are we in this process of being changed from the people we used to be into the people we could be? In God. Transformation takes discomfort. You want to get into shape and transform your body? You can't just do that sitting on the couch. It just doesn't work that way. It takes you changing things about your practices, about your lifestyle, about the way that you eat and the way that you move. And it's uncomfortable, but change can happen. And change is hard, but transformation, completely changing from one thing into another, that's a big change, and God can do that. through the renewing of our minds so that we can know what God's will is. We must be renewed. If our minds are not renewed, we will not be transformed. And we will have zero effect on this world. And in this day and age, this world needs us. It needs us more than ever. Brothers and sisters, please, this world needs you to be transformed, and it needs me to be transformed. We need to break the mold of the world. The stakes are high. We're supposed to figure out what it means to honor the government and to figure it out. And then Paul brings us back to love. Let's pray. Lord God, challenge my heart this morning. Challenge all of our hearts. Help us to stand up and to be people who are renewed in our minds. Help us to know what your will is. We must know your will. These are trying times. These are desperate times. And they could become more so or they could become less. Either way, we must know your will. And we can know your will by being transformed, by renewing our minds. Help us in this murky, gray world. Help us know you. I pray that we know you more than we know what's going on around us, or what's the latest news story is, or what the latest conspiracy theory is, or what the plot of the latest sitcom is, or Marvel movie. Help us know you better. Help us know you first. Help us challenge ourselves to be renewed in our minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's jump into this passage. It's got some really good stuff for us here this morning. I think God wants us to talk about this morning. Romans 13. If you brought your own Bible, turn there. If you've got one of the house Bibles, it's easy. It's on page 1007. Let's read it together here. Paul starts off. Verse 8, do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and then the other commandment are summed up by this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Besides this, since you know the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the day is near, so let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So Paul is coming again. If you look back to the verse 7, he's talking about how we're supposed to owe things. We owe the government taxes. Pay the taxes. Pay them honor if they need honor, if that is their due. But then he says, don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So what does he mean by that? Is he still talking financially? Is he saying, don't owe anyone anything, like you shouldn't have any debt? Like if you have a mortgage on your house, is that wrong? Is that sin? Well, maybe a 50-year mortgage might be, but I don't think that it's bad. I think that there can be wisdom to taking on debt in strategic ways. What does that mean? I think it means that you should have a long-standing, or if you look at the language, he's saying that we have this continual debt, this never-ending debt to love one another. Now, any other debt, hopefully, as you pay it off, it becomes less and less and less and less. I owe money on my house. Confession time, I have a mortgage. And I'm paying that down. And I wish that all of my money went towards the principal, but some goes towards, you know, everything else that goes along with owning a house. But it goes down every year, and I get a statement, and it says, okay, now you owe less than you did the year before because you paid on it. But Paul is saying here that this is a debt that we can never pay down. This is a never-ending debt, this debt of love for one another. And we should love one another continually. It's never canceled. We can never pay it off. We're never done loving others. No matter what. No excuses, no take backs. That's how it works. If you think you have an excuse to stop loving someone, well, then you're wrong. This passage strictly points to that we are to continue to love, and that how you love them might change. But that doesn't mean that you just stop loving them. This debt is our obligation to seek the welfare of our fellow human beings. Why? Well, why are we supposed to love? Well, we spent a lot of time on this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's really, really important. So I'm going to go back over it just briefly here. We love because he first loved us. That's the reason for our love. Well, what is this love supposed to look like? Well, we can't really go into it completely. Romans 12, it's all over the place. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's what love is. Love detests evil. It clings to what is good. Love one another freely or deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. That's love. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That's love. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what is honorable in everyone's eyes. Well, that's love. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. That's love. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do not be conquered by evil. Conquer evil with good. That's the sort of thing that is love. And that standard is really, really high. And it challenges us because it pushes us to the limit. And we think, man, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, this is the amount of... That's just a cell phone. I was like, whoa, here come the aliens. It's all right, that's cool, dude. Okay, so we can feel like we have this much love, and somebody asks for a drink of our love, and we give them it, and it goes down a little bit, and it goes down a little bit, and it goes down a little bit, and it goes down, and suddenly we're out of love, and we're like, okay, I'm broke here. I ain't got no more love for you. And we can hold it back. But God says, well, no, this is the amount of love that I have. An ocean full, and even more so. And so we got to, instead of being a cup of water, we got to turn into a fire hose. And so our love, God pumps his love into us, and we pour that love into other people. And now there's, you know, there's wisdom there, and you can't cover everybody all the time. We can't love the billions of people on the planet all the same. We have to direct it. But it should be a never-ending debt. It should be this thing that just constantly flows through us. And we say, okay, so I am supposed to love without stopping. It's supposed to keep going. This never-ending debt of love. And he talks about it like it fulfills the law. Okay, so what does that exactly mean? Because they had this debt to continue to obey the law. The Jews did. And so he says, okay, so how does that translate here? he says the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor fulfills these commands. The word fulfillment is filled. It's abundance. It's keeping this. It's saying that this fits all together here. So Paul is saying that all of these commandments, all of these things that you shouldn't do to your neighbor, and you put all those together, well, love covers over that. It fills in all the gaps there. When we love, we have done what the law requires of us towards one another. And so love becomes this priority, more even than a priority. It becomes the entirety of it. Love, as defined in chapter 12, is our mandate, the way we ought to live our lives. And this saves us from counting through all of the laws and trying to kind of figure that out. But yet it puts all of this weight on our conscience and on our reliance on the Holy Spirit to figure it out. Because instead of saying, okay, so I'm supposed to do this for my neighbor and that for my neighbor, and you know, no, you just love them. You just seek their welfare. You just say, okay, so what would bless them? What would be good for them? How can I love this person? Sincere love, love without hypocrisy, chapter 12. We change our obedience from one of following a lot of rules to following one rule, love. In doing this, we give incredible glory to God because God frees us from all of the laws and says, this is the commandment. Love one another. This is what you ought to do. We are free to love and fulfill the law. And it's a testimony to God's grace and strength that we can figure that out, that His Spirit is in us to guide us into love and to figuring that out. Because it's His love that we pass on anyways. We just run out like a cup of water. All gone. I love this person today. Now I'm out of love. I'm just going to go sit and watch Netflix. That's the challenge. Paul has more, though. Paul has more to say here. Besides this, he says, and that means alongside this love. He's not changing. He's continuing on. Okay, and in this idea of a never-ending debt of love for the people around us and fulfilling the law in this, since you know the time, he says, it's already the hour for you to wake up from sleep because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Today you are a day closer to your death than you were yesterday. Can seem a little trite, but yet it's true. And to contemplate that and to think about that and to say, okay, here we go, one less day, that's a challenge. No matter when that day of your death might be. Now Paul's talking about more than just the day of your death or my death. He's talking about the day of the Lord, I think. It's pretty obvious. 2 Peter 3 says this, the day of the Lord, this day, will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, the elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. And so Paul is saying that day is coming and it could be here soon. Now we read that and our minds, when we think logically, can think, okay, so that was a long time ago that he said that. Is it still soon? What do you mean by soon, Paul? I think the world is ready. Now, maybe not. You know, there's some things in Scripture. It talks about the gospel being preached to all people. It talks about a few other things like that that we can kind of say, well, has that happened or has that not happened? You can look at the prophecies about the end times, and there are a lot of people who have very varied opinions about how exactly that will work. Some of them could be right. Many of them will be wrong because they disagree. But I think that the enduring command to us is to live like this is the end. And to obey. To say, okay, so the night is passing away and the day is here, the day is coming. So live like that day is just about here. James talked about this. You must be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. And so I think that that command just keeps us on our toes and helps us think, okay, so I just can't fool around. I just can't think, well, I've got 60 years, or I got 20 years, or I got 20 months. Let's obey now. Let's love others now. Let's change ourselves. Let's be transformed now. Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're to be together. We're to encourage one another. We're to be about God's work. Paul says, now is the time to act. The day is coming. Don't put love off till tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. Verse 12, the night is nearly over and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Discard the deeds of darkness. Throw them away. The garbage, the filth, the dung. Discard them. Throw them away and put on the armor of light. Well, that sounds pretty cool. That word armor, the arms used in warfare, weapons, any tool or implement for preparing something. We're to be prepared. The armor of light. Put it on. And this is a common word choice that Paul uses here. He used it to the Ephesians. He used it to the Colossians. He says, take off your former way of life, just like discarding the deeds of darkness, the old self that is corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, the armor of light, the one crafted according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity and truth. And then he says in Colossians, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. We're going to talk more about discarding the deeds of darkness and putting on Christ when we get to that in a couple verses here. But let's move on. He says, let us walk with decency as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy. Walk in the light with decency. 1 John talks about this. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from our sin. That's how we ought to walk. Continuing, following after Jesus, walking. It's this process. It's this journey. It's the way that we are to conduct our lives. We do it in the daytime in the light. And then he's got these word pairings. He's got three word pairings, and they're pairs of words that kind of mean a similar thing. It's kind of like saying nice and warm. Man, this room is nice and warm. Well, it kind of means the same sort of a thing. And so Paul uses those again and again and again, three times here. And the first two are kind of sins of the night, things that would happen in darkness. And I think that he's drawing from this analogy of saying, okay, so we live, can live in this darkened state, but yet the day of the Lord is coming, so we got to be ready for that. So we got to discard these deeds of darkness. And he's got these three sets: carousing and drunkenness. He says, you know, that's just not the way you ought to live. That's not how Christians should live. You may see the world around you doing this, and Paul is probably writing Romans from the city of Corinth, where there was plenty of this happening. People overindulging and losing control and living this way. Now, many people have taken this sort of a verse and said, well, no, you're not supposed to drink any alcohol at all. And cough syrup, ooh, that's borderline. But, you know, we read other scriptures, and in 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, yeah, take a little bit of wine for your stomach, and you can use it medicinally. In Ephesians 5, he just says, don't get drunk with wine, and that seems like a pretty good line. Which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Comparing and contrasting those. Instead, be controlled by the Spirit. Don't be controlled by wine. And then in Proverbs 31, it's not for kings, Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire beer. Otherwise, he will drink, forget what is decreed, and pervert justice for all the oppressed. So I think this is an area we got to be really wise about. And we just got to be careful. If you choose to drink alcohol, which I think I see in Scripture as being something that is allowed, we just got to be wise. We got to know ourselves. We got to know our limits. That doesn't mean you need to test your limits. Oh, I can have three, but I can't have four. No, but just be wise. Be wise. And I think that this extends to any substance that affects you. Lowering your inhibitions, damaging your self-control. Let's be wise about what we put into our bodies. That's not the way a Christian ought to live, to walk, to follow Christ in the light. Now, if this is you and this is your struggle, God loves you very much. God doesn't hate you. God doesn't make mistakes. There are people who this sin, and you may be one of them, this sin grabs at you. And we each have different propensities towards sin, different temptations. Whatever that temptation is, we're called on by God to control that and put it aside. Giving into it is not walking in the light. It's staying in the darkness, and we're called to discard those deeds and put on the armor of light. I'd encourage you, be open, be honest with somebody here. Walk in the light. Bring your temptation into the light. It oftentimes shrivels in the light. And you don't need to feel like you need to spread it around and tell everybody. Make sure everyone knows, but someone should. Someone should know. Accountability and helping carry your burden is what the church is supposed to help with, to encourage you, to show love, to open up to each other. The next pair of things that Paul brings up is sexual impurity and promiscuity. And boy, wow, our world is as deep into this as it is into alcohol. Maybe more so. It's consumed with lust and sin in this area. And the world was back then too. Now in Corinth, where Paul was writing this from again, prostitution was rampant. And we don't have as much problem with prostitution, I don't think, but it's definitely around. And pornography is everywhere. For them, it was part of their pagan idolatry. And it was one of the reasons why idolatry persisted and was so attractive. It was part of worship, giving yourself to lust, to worship this other god or gods. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, but sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard among you. Another translation says, not even a hint of it. And boy, that's tough. It's tough to keep there from being a hint. of it. We're called away from that. Set the guardrail way back. And just stay away from it. Now, we are called within the marriage relationship to enjoy sex. God created sex. It's a good thing. In Proverbs, this is wisdom right here. Let your fountain be blessed and take pleasure in the wife of your youth. And I think he's talking about sex. That's appropriate and it's good and God created it and it's supposed to be fun and it's for you too. And it's private and it's good. And it's appropriate for you to keep the fire where it's supposed to be. Later in Proverbs, he pulls this and he says, can a man embrace fire and his clothes not be burned? And the idea is immorality, taking the fire out of the place that it's supposed to be and giving yourself to lust, giving yourself to anything other than the sexual relationship within marriage is wrong. There's a goodness and blessing from God when sex is where he put it. That's where it goes. And it's sin in any other place outside of God's design. And that includes plain old lust. Thoughts in your mind about someone else. But it definitely extends to porn, to sex outside of marriage, or even if you're going to be married but not yet married. Homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuality, and any other expression of sexuality that's outside of God's design. Now, if this is you and this is your struggle, God loves you so much. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. And God doesn't make mistakes. We have different propensities for sin. Different things that grab at us that we must control and put aside. Giving yourself to those things is not walking in the light. It's staying in the darkness. And we are called to discard the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. We are given the ability to put off sin. I challenge you. Be open and honest with somebody about what's going on with you. Bring your temptation into the light. Sin does not thrive in the light. Now, I'm not asking you again, don't feel the need to spread it around, but somebody should know there's accountability and helping you carry your burden when we open up to one another. Okay, where are we at? Oh, it's really late. It's because we did communion, that's why. Why the service is going too long. Okay, so Paul brings up quarreling and jealousy last of all. And this seems to be a little bit of an odd pairing because it doesn't seem to be those deeds of darkness quite in the same way. But Paul, I think, is setting up what he's going to talk about in chapter 14 and 15. But it's how we get along with other people. And he puts these in the same place. And so it's important to think about this. It's wrong behavior. He told the Philippians, do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure children of God. And he said, hey, you know what? The verse after this, he says, you're going to shine out like stars. If you don't argue with one another, if you don't grumble, boy, people are going to notice. And then in Romans 1, he says, hey, these people who are depraved in their mind, they're given to sin, they are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. And that's the same word, quarrels, as in this chapter. And so he's saying, hey, that is not who you're supposed to be. Those are people who are depraved in their minds. That's the Romans 1 headed down the trail towards destruction. And this is hard. It's hard. This is up there with the other two as difficult to walk in this, but God calls us to this with his strength inside of us, helps us to do this. Now, if this is you and your struggle, which I think it's all of ours, to quarrel and to fight, We have to put it off. God loves us. God doesn't hate us. God doesn't make mistakes. He gives us our challenges, and we have to put off our pride, put on self-control, and walk in the light. We are given the ability to put off sin. Verse 14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We just shouldn't stop with discarding the deeds of darkness and trying not to get drunk or fall into immorality or fall into fighting. We should put on Christ. We're to put our minds there. Put on the armor of light and put on Jesus. Because you can't just take something out without replacing it. If I told you right now, do not think about pink elephants, and then put a big picture of pink elephants up on the screen, you'd think about pink elephants. We have to put on Jesus. We have to replace it. We have to change the way that we're thinking. He says, make no provision to gratify the flesh. We have to plan ahead to deny it. I like that word provisions, because when I go camping, I gather provisions. Food, sleeping bag, tent, all of the stuff to be able to survive. And so Paul is here, he's saying, don't bring along provisions for all of your sinful desires. Starve it out. Put on Christ instead. Plan ahead and deny it. You know, Proverbs talks about not going down the street of temptation. I saw among the inexperienced, I noticed among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house at twilight, in the evening, in the dark of night. Boy, sometimes we make provision for our flesh by going right around where we know sin is. Don't be an idiot. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on Christ. Don't coddle yourself. Don't give your sin opportunity. Don't do it. Talk to somebody else. Work on it. Say, hey, you know what? Here's an area where I have a tendency to make provision for this sin in my life. Let's root that out. Because here we are today, Sunday, January 18th. Will this be the day that you are transformed a little more into who God wants you to be? Tomorrow is Monday. One day away. What are you going to do? We are needed in our city, in our state, in our country. We are needed in our neighborhoods. We're needed in our households to be transformed. We must hold on to this obligation to love others, to keep loving others. This is God's love flowing through us. To stay awake, to discard these deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. To put off drunkenness, sexual immorality, even arguing. Put on behaving like Jesus and not giving sin that chance to tempt us even. Because our world is a dark place. I like this verse from Hebrews. Encourage each other daily while it is still called today, every day, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. God is here to help us. He has given us something to do or to love or to never stop loving. God's here to help us do that. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I praise you that you loved us first, that we don't have to try to figure out how to love somebody else, that you give us a template and you challenge us and you encourage us and your love flows can flow through us. Lord, help us to love the right way, discarding the deeds of darkness, putting on the armor of light, putting on our life in you, following in your footsteps. Help us do this together. Be your people. Helping one another. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we pray for our city. We pray for our state. We pray for our country and our world, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being with us this morning, folks. We got a prayer team that meets over in the prayer nook. They'd love to pray with you this morning. So if you've got something on your mind, please come up and pray with them. Have a good week.